Welcome to the Life of an Entrepreneur. I'm Jan McCarthy with Entrepreneurial Voice, and we are here today to talk about business, what it's like to be an entrepreneur, share some business tips and journeys along the way. And if you'd like to call in and talk to us or ask us a question, you can reach us at 1-800-893-9562. We'd love to hear from you. And we're here every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We are live internet radio, and you can reach us at www.skidrowstudios.com. So I have a very special guest here today. I'm very excited to learn more about her journey. And I also really love seeing entrepreneurs that are young and have gone ahead and taken the launch. But I'd like to welcome today Rebecca Lewis. Hi, welcome. I'm so happy you're here.
Hi.
And your company is Gramercy 8, and that's spelled EIGHT.com. So if anyone wants to check out your website and look at what you do, they can. But why don't you start by just telling us what it is that you do?
Well, I own a jewelry line called Gramercy 8. I'm a silversmith, and it's all handmade here in downtown LA, made mostly by me. And I've been established for almost 3 years, I guess. It's about 2.5 years. So, yeah, I work mostly with precious metals and semi-precious gemstones and a lot of crystals.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. I love crystals. Yeah. So are you from LA?
No, I'm from Georgia.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, did I know that? Because I'm from Georgia, too.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
We'll have to have a conversation off camera about that. Yeah. So what brought you to LA?
I originally moved out to LA in early 2009 to go to FITM and work in fashion and product development. And I did that for up until 2012. And then I had to move back to Georgia because I had an accident, which formed in the end Gramercy 8. And then I completely changed the path and went into a silversmith and jewelry design.
Oh, interesting. So, you know, a lot of women, when they launch a business, they launch it from a place of pain or passion. So if you're willing, I'd love to hear the story of how you went from one thing to developing something else.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the byline is creating beauty from a tragedy. And so, I mean, that's pretty spot on. But I fell 30 feet off of a building in February 28th. Actually, it's I'm about to hit 3 years. Wow. 2012. And then I shattered 60% of my spine and severed three vertebrae up here, and then shattered and then severed it in half down low. So I'm all metal from pretty much my shoulder blades to my waist. And so I realized I couldn't draw anymore. When I was on bed rest every day, for a long time, but about 2 months in, I was just I can't sit and watch TV anymore. So my mom brought me, I was when to try to draw is what I'd always done, kind of. And then I couldn't get to the paper the way that I used to, because I used to draw very face to paper, and I can't bend past this, even now. And it was obviously way worse then. So I think my mom or someone brought me friendship bracelet string, but I was really heavily medicated, so I couldn't keep it straight with my fingers. But it kind of re-sparked after realizing I wasn't able to create with drawing, which was another devastation kind of on top of everything else, my identity.
So you were mourning not only...
Right.
Yeah.
Because my identity had always been fashion illustration and design assistant or, whatever. So I lost, I had lost every physical identity I could have, because I was on a walker and I was just really bad. And then I lost my personal identity. But through that, I started when the friendship bracelet string came, it kind of re-sparked creativity and the passion and the it was just okay. And so then I had nothing but time, because I was in bed probably 23 hours a day. So I just stayed all up just researching how to make jewelry and self-teaching myself from bed. And then orders would come in from Amazon or Michaels or wherever. And then I would get pliers from the garage where I was staying and just hammer stuff on rocks and try to figure out how to make it. And then it just
So you decided to put this on. Now you said orders would come in from Amazon. So you started making these bracelets more as a kind of an art therapy kind of thing, maybe. And
yeah.
And then found, wow, I really like this and maybe I could sell them. Is that sort of what you thought?
Yeah, well, I was like, the friendship bracelets kind of weren't what I stuck with because it was too like complex visually at that time for where my head was. But I did start going like into making jewelry. So I would just order like supplies and chains and things I didn't really know how to put it together, and then it would get there and I would just like sit there and figure out. Like I remember using tweezers from the bathroom at one point instead of like pliers. I had nothing else to do. But then through that I would like post something on Instagram. People would be like, oh, I want that. And then I was like, maybe I should do something with this. And then it just kind of escalated really quickly.
So did you set up an Etsy store then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
at that point?
I was in San Diego for 3 months after my accident. And then when I moved back, once I was able to like fly, I moved back to Georgia to be in recovery with my parents. And that's when I kind of like got everything together and like was like, okay, let's put this and like just taking photos on like logs. And like, it was super Etsy, which is great. But it was like definitely like transitioned a lot. But yeah, so I put it on Etsy. And then I remember I just like posted it. And I think a lot of people had been, like friends and friends of friends had been following my recovery and my accident. And so when I posted something positive, everyone shared it and like it got shared and shared and shared. And I think that created like a snowball effect really quickly, which was great because it was kind of like my like lifeline.
Wow. So I love that story. And I love that, you know, that you were able to find inspiration out of all of that. And I also know that for entrepreneurs, whenever we are able to kind of share our authentic self and let people like to know what is the story behind. I'm a painter as well, and I also know that people are like, well, what was your inspiration for painting this painting? And when the more that we can share, the more people want to get on board and be loyal and be fans. As well, because it's not just a piece of jewelry or just a painting that they can buy from anywhere. Now there's something that they can connect to, and they feel like they can connect in some sort of way with that.
Right.
Now, you mentioned Amazon. Did you go from Etsy to Amazon?
Oh, no. Amazon was just like when I was just like, oh, I need chain. And then I would just like order something random on Amazon.
Oh, because it's the end. Yeah, it's so easy. We're not trying to give Amazon a plug. But but hey, Amazon is easy, right?
Add.
Right. So I see. So, where did you get your creative inspiration from in making the jewelry? So, and listen, tell everybody a little bit about your jewelry. I mean, there's all different kinds of jewelry, but what would you define that the style of your jewelry as?
The other day I used the phrase like excessive minimalism because I think it's designed to be like heavily layered and or you can just wear like a single piece. Like, I mean, I have like probably like 50 stacks on right now, stacking rings, and then like 4 necklaces layered. But you can also just wear one little thing and just have it kind of like compliment you and just be this like little whisper like floating around. And then when I incorporate like gemstones and crystals, I usually will do either a heavy contrast. Like I just, for Valentine's Day today, I'm doing this like black spinel, like kind of looks like a black diamond with like rose gold. So it's a really contrast, but it's like the tiniest little thing. So it's still very like minimal and kind of just like shines. So I just, if I use a stone, I'll try to like do a contrast, but keep it still like really easy to wear, I guess is the way to put it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you were doing that, when you were first designing your jewelry, what was the kind of muse, the inspiration behind of, was it because you didn't want to wear things that were heavy? Was it because, how did you create that vision to start?
Well, I think I never really wore much jewelry besides this cross necklace that was my mom's before. And so I think, and when I was working in design, most of my work was in menswear. So I think in the same way, it kind of gave me like a perspective of just like from a design angle, like what I thought looked really good versus what I want to wear. And over time, obviously, it's developed into like, I want to wear it because I'm wearing it. But I think it was definitely like a slow progress of just like who kind of making something that's approachable. I think also being on Etsy, you get a very like broad client customer, because I would have like someone, you know, in like Wyoming wanting to buy my stuff, and then my friends in LA wanting to buy my things.
So a little bit different than really kind of thinking about, well, who is my ideal client?
Right. And like I had a very broad target market.
Right. So that people who are looking for jewelry on Etsy, I mean, they kind of search. Now, did you think, okay, I've got something here. People are buying stuff. Hey, this is cool. And maybe I should start a business with this. So did you go through and say, I need to write a business plan, I need to do all of this? Or
no.
Did you just say, you know, this is working, so let's go with the flow?
I was like very heavily in pain and mourning and like medicated. So none of that, like, let's start a business was there. It was just kind of like, oh, I'm just going to do this. And then I did it. And it was like, oh, I feel alive again. Like there's a little like glimmer of like light in my soul for the first time in a long time. But as of like the whole responsible business startup, that did not happen. And that's something actually I'm like really working on getting everything under control right now. Cause it really did just snowball. And I was still heavily in rehab and recovery. So I didn't like, it was like, I was either like going to Buckhead to go to care or laying in bed. Like I was just like in bed for like almost like 8 months after. And it all started in my bed. And so I would just be like, my sister said she'd come in and be like, oh, like do you know where your pliers are, your crystals? And I would like move this sheet over and turn the pillow and like be like, oh, this is my pliers section. So yeah, there was never any like intention to start a business. It just happened. Like orders came in and I was like, oh, I guess I have to fill them.
So at some point you said, okay, this is viable. This is a business.
Yeah.
So did you sit down and then go through all the legal steps? At some point you even decided to move, you were able to get out of bed and had accomplished enough recovery that you eventually moved back to LA and
established a business. Yeah, no, I had a friend help me like establish some things on a business, and my sister was really helpful in like creating a budget and like thinking with Ford. Your like left brain.
Mm-hmm.
And so that helped a lot. But yeah, I mean, there's still things I'm trying to get like under control like right now.
Yeah, well, we're always a work in progress, right? And sometimes you have to just pivot as well.
Yeah.
So you got a website set up and an official business, and it's also great. What I think is wonderful about what you just said is that we do need help from other people. So to be able to have mentors, to be able to have people who can, you know, help lead the way in areas that we're not so strong in, or have that much expertise about, then to be able to reach out and accept that kind of help for someone to lead it, you know, to show us what to do and what are those next steps and how can we grow and continue to flourish. Now, did you already have the skills for silversmithing, or did you need to go back to educate yourself for that kind of thing?
No, I'd say I'm like 90% self-taught. I had no idea. Like I said, I was like trying to like make jewelry with like eyebrow tweezers. So once I was like able to like stand for long periods of time, I would go to this, I took a couple lessons from this, place in Atlanta and learn like the basics. And then I would go in there after rehab, cause we live like an hour and a half from Atlanta. But I would go in from like after and would go just like go work and kind of like figure things out as I went and like, okay, well, I got an order and I made this one piece one time, put it online, got a couple orders for it, no idea how I made it, you know, and then I would like have to go refigure it out and just kind of continue to like teach myself and Google YouTube videos.
Thank God for Google and YouTube videos, right?
Yeah.
I don't even know how we'd know how to do anything.
I know, it was a lot of trial and error and just like, oh, okay, this worked.
It sounds like it's something that you really love, and Had you ever thought, so when you were growing up, you just kind of thought, I'm going to, and obviously you're very fashion oriented because you look awesome and super styled here. So you just kind of thought, this is the direction that I'm going to go. But had you always had an affinity for jewelry
No, I never wore jewelry. Or I would have like one ring and one necklace I like would wear for like 2 years and then transition. I think when my grandmother wore like amazing jewelry, and when she passed away, we were all able to like pick specific pieces, all of like the cousins and stuff. And that definitely was something like, whoa, for the first time I like saw jewelry as like this like beautiful thing versus just like something like an afterthought. But my whole identity was always like gonna be in fashion or gonna be a fashion designer. Or actually, I just wanted to like illustrate and style, and like it kind of, you know, transitioned over the years. But it was always like apparel; it was never accessories. And then, but it's like really cool because it's like I was just saying the other day that like I was really unhappy with what I was doing, and I had accomplished a lot for being 21 when my accident happened. But at the same time, I was like really unhappy with everything, and it was already really hard to be like, why am I so unhappy? I've already done all this like stuff that I should be really thrilled, like I'm working these positions and doing this stuff. And then, but now I was just thinking the other day how like, even if I'm like in a lot of pain or like I'm just over making rings or something, like I'm still so thrilled to like get up and like work every day. And it's like that's like when I feel like no matter what, I like I'm like just like stoked to come in and make jewelry.
And there's something also I would imagine being just knowing that for a lot of people, sometimes they're so afraid to take a risk. But you had something so tragic happen to you that you were almost forced to go out there. And how empowering to understand that the kind of strength that you had, and that when you're a creative. And I think deep down we're all creative, even if it's just in very different, manifests itself in very different ways. But we're not tied to just one thing, and that there are many things that we can find joy and passion in, and to be able to explore and move about going in different directions and find fulfillment with. So I love that you were able to rise above that. Now, obviously, when we talk about, you know, with an entrepreneur, you want to look at what your strengths are and where your areas of expertise are. And then what are those things that are not really necessarily our genius work, which you've indicated is maybe using the left side of your brain and some of the business functions. What skills or what strengths do you feel that you've brought to the table that has really helped you to be able to bring this company to the level that you have in such a short period of time?
I mean, I feel like a part of it was just desperation. Like, it was, like, that was, like, my silver lining. It was all I had at that moment for a long time, was, like, no matter how bad my pain was, no matter how desolate I was within my own body or with my, everything that I had lost in my, seemingly lost in my life, you know, I had this, and this was, like, my, like, baby, and it was, like, my phoenix, you know, whatever. And then, so I think, like, just, like, having you, like, I really had nothing else, and so like I put everything into that, and it was just like my distraction and it was like also a passion. So I would say like just like having, and then also whenever like some of my best sellers or some of my favorite pieces, like when I'm upset or when I'm hurting, because there are days that like I can't, like I don't want to get out of bed, I'm like just like I'm in a lot of chronic pain constantly,
sure,
I get up and I will make something. And I think fueled from that ends up being like those have always ended up being like the best sellers or the most popular pieces. And I just kind of like black out and I'm working versus thinking about what I'm doing or like thinking, is this going to sell? Are people going to want to buy this? And when I just kind of like space out and make something like through that, it goes back to like where it was, where I was in the beginning. And I think it ends up being like unconsciously one of the best sellers. And so I think that, and then just like, if like the constant like drive that I have to have in everything to like get through a day within my own body, it like relays into work, like just to like keep going. Cause like there's definitely like good seasons and bad and everything, you know, especially in any small business, like good days and bad days. Like, and I think it's just like, okay, let me just keep pushing kind of.
So having tremendous amounts of determination and perseverance and get through that. Do you use a mantra or any kind of thing to help you? You know, you've obviously got a lot of grit. And is there anything that you say, okay, I can do this, or?
Maybe prayer. I think prayer is probably a huge aspect to my life. Maybe like meditating within prayer. But no, I think it's just also not being in fear. Like, I think a lot of any decision, or like decision rooted in fear, or choice that I would make for that I have made or will make within this business, that comes from a place, whatever it is, from fear, it always ends up like kind of like being the worst thing I could have done.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think just having no, like trying to be like fearless, because I've already gone through, like, you know, like I could lose it. I could lose grammar. Like, it could totally fall apart. And then something else amazing would come from that, because that's just like how life works. I feel like it, you know, worse. I don't want that to happen. But
right.
And so I think just knowing that like nothing is forever, but
that you've gone through
be.
Something really, really incredible. Yeah. And if you stopped and thought about it before it had happened, like, oh my God, I would be so scared for that to happen. But you've realized you got through it, you lived through it, you emerged much more victorious. How did you come up with the name?
Gramercy is the street I fell on, and 8 is the hospital floor I was on. And I like just at the time it was, I kind of, part of me now like wishes I hadn't incorporated my back into any of it, but it definitely helped in the beginning, kind of like put a story behind it and connected. And that was kind of what I was hoping would happen. And also, like, what else would I name it? I don't know.
So now that you've definitely reached some huge milestones, it's an official business. It's what you do. It's more than just a kind of a hobby kind of thing that are on the pages of Etsy. And you've established yourself and your name as doing this. Do you stop in and think, especially in the situation that you take time to meditate, do you think, okay, so I've done an amazing job of doing this, and even if it just kind of happened very organically, it's really come a long way. This is kind of the way I want it to go in the future. Do you think beyond just today?
Oh, yeah, no, I'm the worst at that. Like, I think, okay, something great will happen, and then I'm like, oh, but that could have been this, and that could have been that, you know, and it fuels me, but it's also hard for me to, like, stop and be like, oh, that was great. Now what happens? It was just more like, I feel like a sense of urgency to, like, top myself as quick as possible.
So you've got that kind of competitive drive within yourself to better what you just did.
I'm trying to work on just like appreciating, you know, things.
Well, I think that's certainly very important for everybody to do, to take that moment to think about what actually kind of the love that, especially given the fact that this is February and we're thinking about love, and especially the fact that, jewelry is a great thing to give in love. So you can go to Rebecca's website, which is Gramercy8, spelled out, EIGHT.com, and order one of her lovely pieces for yourself. Or you
I think there's still a 15% off coupon, which I forgot to cancel last night.
and if you have questions, you can also give us a call at 1-800-893-9562. But do you step back? I mean, I do think it's important for us to say what, you know, not only the love that we give to the business, but actually take that time to stop and think about the love that the business gives back to us. Whether it gives us freedom, whether it gives us an opportunity to be our most creative self, or whether it by giving the love. I know with my own personal jewelry, I love all of my pieces of jewelry, and they mean something to me. And if I happen to know the jeweler or the story behind it, that's even cooler. But I think just going back and considering, I like how you put that, and knowing what you appreciate about your business and what it has done for you, and it's kind of shown you a different way that there is life after the accident,
right?
And to move forward, and the fact that the people who wear your pieces love what they have. They love having that on them and what you've created. But do you think about, this is where I'd like to be. I'd like to see, one day, I'd like to have my name synonymous with so-and-so, or I would like to be in this many stores, or do you set goals like that for yourself?
Yeah, I think it would be awesome to, or I'm like starting to take like casting classes to like learn a whole other like art behind, or like behind, like it's not silversmithing necessarily, just like new ways to create, I think. And I I'm always thinking about like the next kind of collection I want to put out, or like the next, like even if it's a capsule collection. So I think I'm always like thinking for the next, and then, but like I have to be careful because that will also make me like feel like comparison, you know, like I think especially in like the Instagram culture we live in, like a lot of small businesses, there's always like this like spirit of comparison where you're like, oh, they're doing more. Okay, now I need to go do this, you know, but I think, yeah, no, I think I'm always moving forward. And then I would love to like do some kind of apparel again would be awesome, like something that's like cohesive with my jewelry, where it's like a minimalist t-shirt, I don't know. But yeah, and I think it's just like it kind of like hits me, and then I'm like, I just do it. Like once I get an idea,
you just go for it. I love it, and I love like eliminating that fear out of it. Is there pressure? I do have several jeweler friends, and I know that sometimes, especially if they're in stores, there's pressure to reproduce, or not reproduce, but to produce a whole new line and lots of choices. Do you feel that pressure, or are you very clear about, I mean, I don't know exactly, do you sell in stores?
I do some wholesale, but I prefer doing like e-commerce as of now. I am looking at getting back, because I did wholesale when I first started, and it was just like I just didn't know what I was doing with anything, and it was just like, whoa. But I think now I'm in a position where I'm wanting to go back into that, but I mostly sell through e-commerce or other secondary like e-commerce via wholesale, but I'll just drop ship it. Yeah, I think
so. You don't feel that pressure that I've got to have a new collection every season. I mean, you know how the fashion industry is.
Yeah, no, it's not like, I mean, I put out a holiday collection, but like I'm like kind of an extremist, I think. So it's like I was like, oh, the holidays are coming, I should do a collection. And then I went home to visit my family, and then all of a sudden I like had like one idea for a specific piece, and within like 4 days I had like a 30-piece collection, and we were shooting it that weekend. It's like, once it's just like once something hits, like it's all I do is create. And then, but so I don't like, but I don't like, in like how in fashion you're designing it like 3 or 4 months ahead. Like that's probably like the sane way to do it, but that's just not how it works.
That's okay, because you have to stay true to you and what works for you. And you, as you mentioned, you have other things that you have to manage too, because you never know if your back is, you're going to be in extreme pain, and then you aren't going to be able to maybe do everything that you wanted to do. So
yeah, but I don't feel in jewelry it is as necessary, at least as like an independent label, to have a collection every season. Like I'll do a capsule collection because I will just get that like wave of inspiration, and then like I did that like midsummer last year, which was just like, but it did really well because it's just kind of like you're in that in between, but it's on trend and you put out things that you just love. And so I think you can like, I mean, you can do like the big seasonal ones, but you can also do these little like mini things. I think you have a little bit more freedom in, well, I think being like a small business, you have a lot more freedom, but then also in jewelry.
Yeah. Well, and also too, if you haven't, because going mainstream, you can still be your own business.
Right.
But if you go mainstream and you're having to, I mean, it may be really cool to be able to get in. And some people like that. They like that reliability that.
Yeah, you know. Completely. I think also following, like, okay, seasonal trends will, like, put out a holiday because holiday collection will go through Valentine's Day, which is, you know, huge for us, and then to graduation. And then the summer, like, you can kind of, like, what happens, you know? And then you do a fall or, like, a pre-fall because then you have Thanksgiving and Christmas. And then, you know, so you kind of, like, I think if you, like, just hit those big, like, know in your head, like, these are big seasons coming, like, but, like, as of, like, you know, spring, summer, winter, fall, it doesn't, I think it's more holiday based. When do people buy?
June for weddings, right?
Oh yeah, weddings too.
So your inspiration originally came, and it's, have you consistent, did you, are you very clear about this is the style of jewelry that I want? Are you experimenting, like, heavier pieces or bigger pieces? You said you're looking at learning some new techniques and
which would make heavier pieces. Yeah, I think my inspiration, like, derives a lot from nature, which is kind of like a basic answer, but or like just like I love, like, raw elements. So I like, you know, I like the raw gemstones or rough, like, not perfectly polished and tumbled. And then, you know, I think being outside and growing up in Georgia, we grew up on a lot of land, kind of isolated with my, I have three other sisters. And we just played and adventured. So I think that has always been a huge part of me. It's just, like, being within the trees and the flowers. So, like, kind of trying to incorporate those soft, raw elements that you just, like, when you step outside, you just feel, you know. And then I think my grandmother's spirit on my dad's side, she was this, I don't even know how to describe her, but she was a painter as well, and she did these beautiful, like, floral painting, flower paintings. I don't know. And then... I, like, don't even know what I'm talking about at this point.
That's okay. you're talking fine. You know, I think what you're doing is just the way I see it is you're capturing this the spirit of what you're seeing and what you're feeling and with your jewelry being light and airy and kind of wispy and
oh yeah, rougher pieces. Like, I did this fire opal piece the other day, which is a heavier piece. Like,
oh, so beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. I, like, put it in an oversized shank, so it's kind of like a...
Boy, I really just caught the light of that, too. Yeah. It was amazing.
So this was, I was like, oh, does this look bad? You know, and everyone's like, no, it looks great. It's just different. So I think, like, I get insecure when I start to change, and then I'm like...
And how do you get beyond that? Because I think we all get insecure at times with our business. Is anybody going to like this?
I don't know. Stay off the internet. I feel like my entire, like, generation as a whole, like, just because of, I don't know. Anyways,
that's a great answer. That's a yeah. Great answer.
Just know, like, what I'm doing is what I've been doing, and then, like, don't get in that hole where you're like, well, what are they doing? Oh, but it looks better.
Well, some, yeah, I agree. And I think as people we do that, but as entrepreneurs we do that too.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can't even go there because they may have something that appears to be really amazing and great, or maybe it is, maybe it isn't. It doesn't really matter. This is your story. This is your brand. This is this is you. And people can't force people to love it. You can't trick people into loving it. They're just going to love it because they love what it represents and how it makes them feel.
Yeah, I think remembering that is always, like, just, like, really helpful, just to be like, no, like, you're obviously doing something right. Because, I mean, there's been so many times where I've, like, projected, like, I might be in, like, my bed, like, on ice, and I, like, post some, like, photo that I took last week of a ring, and it's like, oh, inspirational quote, you know? And then, like, no one knows that I'm actually, like, up on ice, like, hating my life for a hot minute.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, you just, like, projection, you never really know. So if I get insecure, I'm just like, no, like, I finally have to, like, remember to have, like, peace because, like, this is what I'm doing and it's working most of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there something that you just kind of, well, you kind of thought, well, maybe, like, when you were laying in bed all those months and days and hours, was there something that before the bracelets came, was there any kind of glimmer of, well, maybe I can do this, or maybe I should do this?
Nope.
It was just focused on getting better, and then
I don't remember most of it. I was like, just like, I mean, I couldn't like do anything. I couldn't like get out of bed by myself. It would take like one or two people. So it was definitely just like zombie for about, I mean, I think I watched all of Game of Thrones season one in a single day. So that shows how much free time I had.
Well, there are people who don't have any free time, and they've definitely binge watched.
It's true.
All responsibilities go by the wayside. So.
Yeah, no, I was devastated and desolate and had no, I remember, I think, my friend took my debit card to go get me Starbucks, and it was probably $2, and my card got declined, and I was just like, whoops. Like, I just had not, like, no, you know, at that point, everything was gone. Like, I just, and she, I remember, like, once I'm, because I was also, like, terrified to move out of California, just because it was, like, losing thing after thing that had, like, mm-hmm. I had evolved into my life, and I remember being like, well, I'll work at Starbucks, but I couldn't stand. I'm just like, you know, like I was just like.
Because you felt kind of like your life was over.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. I had no idea what I was going to do.
Yeah.
And I think that is the only way this would have ever come, because I was so like white knuckle held on to like my identity or what I thought it was supposed to be, or who I was supposed to be. And I was so like stubborn within that I would have like missed out on this entire thing, which is. Well, so I say it's like the best and worst thing that ever happened to me.
Right. Well, I, you know, having this conversation, what I admire is that a lot of times opportunities are coming at us, like even making the bracelets and doing what you did. Other people might be able to see that opportunity, but sometimes when we're so caught up in what's going on with us, and of course you were in extreme pain and like you said, under medication, it's not quite as easy to see those doors that are opening.
Right.
But the fact that you did, I so admire that you know, your brain, even if it was just a little nudge, was going, hey, look.
Yeah.
And we have to pay attention to those messages, those signals that are coming through, and also learn to kind of just, yeah, you went out on a limb to put this out there, but you have to kind of, but your gut was kind of telling you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think like, I mean, some of my best friends were really encouraging me, because I was like, oh, what am I putting jewelry on Etsy? Like, you know, but then
me
it,
and
like,
5,000 others.
Exactly. And then they were like, no, like you like do this, you know, what you're making is really cool. And I think if I hadn't had that push from like support on like affirmation, I guess it would never have happened as well. It definitely wasn't all my like gung ho. I like one of my best friends actually kind of like, I swear she was just like, put it up. Are you going to do it? Like, I think she could see that like I needed it more than like, I think it needed to be a company.
Well, there are just so many business lessons that we're talking about. And one is finding that support group and trusting your intuition and looking for those opportunities. That right. There are actually opportunities around every day, and a lot of times we just have our blinders on. We have that tunnel vision, and we just kind of stay. There's definitely something great about having a focus, but there's also something about having a focus but being open to other things that come in that may not be what we originally had in our plan, but yet it allows us to go in a direction that can be incredibly helpful and set us on a path that kind of, I don't know, maybe takes us to our destiny.
Yeah. You know? I mean, that's like when you're like, what do you see in the future? It's like, I see like so many things that could happen, including like Grammar State not staying forever, you know, but I like, it's like, I think this is the biggest lesson I've learned is like everything can change within an instant. And it's like, I mean, entirely within an instant. So it's just like, continuing to move forward, but like also staying open for like any possible thing that could come my way, and like not like letting like fear, pride, or angst like deflect from that, or like fog, because yeah, like everything can just like suddenly go this way.
Yeah. Who would be your dream collaborator? Do you have one?
That's like a hard question. And like, I don't even know. there's so many. It would be awesome to work with, like, I've been really looking. I mean, this would be like if I could turn my paint, like my jewelry, with somehow with like Van Gogh's paintings. I just changed my background to him, which is like the very bizarre thing to say, but like I think I've been really inspired by him lately. And then for spring, and then if I could work with, I don't know, anyone. I don't know. This is really like terrible.
It's okay. I don't know that I could answer that question
so
in this particular moment, but
that I want to do. Anyone that's just like, I could like list off names of designers that I love and stuff, but it's more like anyone that like that I feel like you have like a soul connection with, and you're just like, let's make something awesome. And if they like respect it, like the work and the creating and the art the same way that you do, even if they're making a painting or clothing or jewelry,
right? Yeah,
it would be. I would love to like collaborate with like. I have this old man in the mountains in Georgia that I like started getting gemstones from, and I feel like he used to be an accountant, and then he was like in Vietnam, then he was an accountant, and then he like randomly decided to learn about gemstones. Now he owns this rock shop up in the mountains, and if he's kind of senile now, but if like maybe 10 years ago we could have like made something together, that would probably be actually one of my like higher. Top of my list.
And I so know what you're talking about up in the North Georgia Mountains.
Yeah. His name's like Catherine Duncan. he's a riot. He always wears like a fight suit.
Now, how did you, resources is a big thing for anybody starting out. And how did you, it's one thing, I mean, Google is an obvious, really cool, awesome resource. But how did you go about finding, did you just... So originally you bought things at full retail price.
Right.
But then you eventually found the places, and I'm not saying name your resources, but how did you go about like finding this guy in the North Georgia Mountains that, I mean, is somebody like that on Craigslist?
No.
Or was it through somebody? Through a friend of a friend?
It was like
my
like first boyfriend in high school, like, who I hadn't like seen in like 5 years, like heard that I had moved home and knew about the accident, and was like, oh, you're making, like, let me take you up here. Cause like half of my, I think my early love for making jewelry was like also learning about crystals at the same time. And I was just like,
they're so powerful.
Yeah. Like, yeah. On a metaphysical way. And just on like this came from the earth. Like, I don't know. It's, and so I get like really like dorky when I talk, like homeschooler vibes come out when I talk about crystals. But I think that there was just like a lot of weird series of, I think, like supposed to happen events, because like I don't think I've seen that ex-boyfriend from when I was 16 since that day, but he just randomly felt so compelled to like, who I haven't, you know, I hadn't spoken with him in like 6 years, like, come pick me up. And I was just like this little like emaciated like thing going up the mountains, and then I was like, oh, you know. And then I think just having nothing but time, like, it's amazing what you can do when you like are spending every hour in bed.
Yeah.
And like I had like, I don't have many, like, a social network really in Georgia. I had my sisters. So
I was just reading something about time, and what you're saying, it's amazing when you have all that much time in bed. But the fact that, especially in our lives, that we create busy even if we're not busy, because it's very difficult to stop and take that minute. So was that like a lesson maybe that you took from your experience, that I need to continue that practice of setting? I mean, I know you said you meditate, but there's a different kind of thing in meditation, which I'm not very good at, and so I may be blowing it here, but I mean, there's a difference in being quiet and yet still being able to write down all these ideas that are firing out of your brain versus meditation that, from what I understand, you have nothing with you to, at least from the movies and things I've seen.
Well, I feel like it's more like I don't like the word, like a relationship, a prayer with God, more than like just sitting and like namaste, like I don't even know how to meditate. I think I'm way too just like, ooh, for that. But I do think that with spending so much time in bed, that now I feel the need, like the creating busy, and I feel the need to like this like urgency to always be going and doing and moving, even if it's like I could do it all in one day, I could spread it out over 2 days or something. Sometimes, spread it out. I could have spread it out and rested. I think I have a really hard time with allowing myself grace because, like, I am not in a physically healthy body. And it's hard for me to be like, no, like, you just need to, like, go on ice for 2 hours or you just need to rest. And, like, I, like, will push myself because I feel the need to. Like, I need to work and do more. And, you know, then all of a sudden my body will, like, just crumble and I won't be able to get out of bed for a day or two. So I think finding that balance, like, within having, I think, and it probably comes from fear of, like, being so stuck in bed and so, like, just, like, I am, like, never getting out of this place to being physically able to do things again. And it's like, well, I don't want to go back to that. So it's like, I think it's just like an extreme.
Well, I was really taken with the thing that I was reading that talked about taking time, very specific time. And it seems like you have a perfect excuse to do that too. You know, my body would really benefit if I ice it every day, although I putting ice on it, it sounds like that might be difficult, but
It's healing. It's cold.
but easier in the hot summer yeah. months. But it's a kind of excuse. Like, I used to say that I love reading. I used to say, while I was waiting for it to pick my children up, I didn't feel guilty reading.
Right.
And so taking that time, it sounds like you have a very good excuse if you want to to borrow from that. Not that we have to have excuses to read or to take time for ourselves.
I think that is very powerful.
Yeah. So do you have
someone that comes in and helps me. She's great. And I really need to, like, get someone to come in and help me with admin because it's like customer service emails and stuff start to, like, overwhelm me on top of making things. So that's what I'm looking to hire right now. Yeah, I think we also, it's like when you get, I think people forget that, like, a lot of times there's, like, a real person behind the computer. And when it's like your creations and, like, oh, I ordered a size 6 and it turns out I'm a size 8 ring. How dare you? And then it's like rip me apart for doing nothing, you know? And it's just like, or sometimes I do something wrong. I don't know. But it's like, I think they just, like, forget that, like, there's a human that's, like, creating all these things and reading this and it's, like, my child. So I think I need to, like, it's hard for me not to feel, like, emotionally, like, just, like, punched. So I think I'm bringing someone in also to do, like, a part-time admin control.
And that's good information too. I mean, there are a lot of sites out there that allow you to be able to hire through Odesk or TaskRabbit to outsource some of that stuff. On the other hand, it's kind of nice if you can bring someone in house to do it. Does that scare you too? Like, yeah, now you're a boss. It's one thing when you're just peddling around.
I'm the worst boss. People, because I think I am like, I have a lot of responsibilities, and so, like, I, like, the people that end up coming in and, like, working, like the girl that works for me now, and the one that used to in Georgia, like, they almost boss me around because it's like I'm like, oh, I have to do this, oh, I have to do this, and here, you know, and then they'll be like, you're gonna sit in this chair and do these 10 things and then go over and do these 10 things, and I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm gonna do. Like, I need someone to, like, wrangle me because I'm just like, and then I'll remember halfway that I wanted to make this piece and go make that piece, and then she's like, but you have these 10 orders to fill. So I don't know.
Sounds kind of like a creative to me.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty much.
But that takes on a whole new element of when you do hire someone that now you not only are you responsible for them, but depending on how you hire them, whether they're independent contractors or whether they're now employees, there's a whole new responsibility involved in that. And you know, what you have to provide as a small business and that kind of thing. So did you research that? Was it a conscious decision? I'm going to do it this way versus the other way? Or you just said, I need help and I'm going to do whatever's necessary.
Yeah, it was like, it was like the first holiday season after I had kind of formed. So I think I, like, really formed in, like, July or August of 2012. And then I had, like, gotten a lot of amazing, like, press really quickly, and then Christmas came, and I mean, compared to what I'm feeling now, it was nothing, but it was, like, everything, because I didn't know what I was doing with anything, and so I had, like, tried to get interns to come help me, and I had, like, some really strange people that like it just didn't work well with. And this one girl came in and she was the first one to be like, kind of saw me for what I was and like wasn't, and like, you know, it was so like respectful, I guess. But like, she's like, I don't know. She, if I could like have her come out to LA, I would. Like, she's great. And she would, but she was the first one that saw like the situation as a whole and like saw me and like knew what I needed. And so she kind of showed me what I need in hires. And like what I need in people that help work for me.
So she set the bar.
She set the bar really high, yeah. And then it was like, oh, okay. So now I know how I work best. And also I am like a middle child and I'm like an introvert, but I'm also an extrovert. So I like, I work better when people are around me. So I think like both of those things.
And those are important things to know about yourself. I mean, some people work best completely by themselves. Other people need accountability and they kind of need that they're most inspired when they have other people.
Yeah.
Some people are able to delegate very easily and some people aren't. And so understanding who you are and what works best for you is really a key towards moving towards success.
And I think that's something that I'm constantly, I mean, I think because I didn't start with all this intention that I'm still like learning. I mean, like, I was just telling one of my sisters a few weeks ago, because like I didn't have anyone come in and help me for like a week. And I was just like getting really blue. And I was like, what's going on? And then I think I just realized that I have been like in a cave, which when I'm creating, like when I'm in a new collection, like I won't see people for 5 days. And then I'm just like, you know, ah, and that's great. But if I'm just like doing the normal like order fill and production and inventory and stuff, I think if I'm isolated, it's like, I'm not being fueled by this like crazy ideas, then it like starts to really like kind of like
then it
weigh
starts to
on
just
me.
Feel like work.
Mm-hmm. And it just yeah, work. It's alone. Like, I mean, I work alone and like live alone. It's like it gets very like quiet.
Well, there's being alone and allowing yourself to create. And as a painter, I understand that.
Right.
But then there's other things where, like you said, doing these things that they're not requiring you to utilize the most creative part of your brain, but yet they need to be done. But work goes much faster.
Right.
And at that point, it is kind of work, but you're having to wear all the hats. But at that point, it does go much faster when you're working with someone and you're working together. So that makes perfect sense. And I think we don't always know that we have somebody that is waiting to that is available to help us. I guess what I'm trying to say is we don't always know what it is we need until we get into that situation,
right? And I think that's what a lot of this has been for me. Like a lot of my like lessons that I've learned have just been like, okay, well, I'm really unhappy with this now, and it's been like 3 weeks. Okay, now what is making me unhappy? Let's walk backwards.
Yeah.
Like, why am I feeling this? Okay. And I'm like, you know, and then you figure it out, and then I'm like, okay, so for no longer
it helps a lot. We have a call. Hi, welcome.
Hi. I was just wondering if you guys had any advice about kind of branding yourself online and gaining a following on the different social networks, especially Instagram. I've noticed Gramercy 8 has a pretty strong like brand identity, and I just wondered if you had any advice about that.
Well, it sounds like you have a pretty large following on Instagram, Rebecca, so would you like to speak to that?
I mean, I haven't hit the K's yet, but you can go follow me. I think being consistent, and whether it's like, okay, I'm going to throw up what I've created in the studio today, and then I have a great photographer that comes in, or two of them actually that come in and will shoot pieces or one of a kind custom photos, and then I'll put that up in the middle of the day, and then, or maybe in the morning, and then at mid afternoon I'll put up like a quote or something from the blog to try to like hit all sides of what's going on. But I think there's also like different times that different kinds of posts do really well. Like if it's like 5 o'clock, I guess it kind of, I said that backwards. Like if it's like 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, like I don't put up quotes or anything because people are usually driving home from work and just like visually want to see. So if I could put up like,
hopefully
there's like
not looking at the
phone. There's like all these different, like I think I have like just like learned like timing and kind of things and filters and hashtags.
Well, that's great advice, and thank you so much for calling. And I think that's something, you know, even if it's just one little tip that allows us to build our following, that's really great. We only have like 1 minute left before the show is over. So is there any advice? What would you tell someone who is starting to look at doing a business?
Just do it.
Just do it.
Why not? I mean, even if you're like my, I'm so inspired by my sister. She has two babies under like, I think they're like 12 months apart or 14 months apart. And she just like had an idea for a business and within 3 months started, and it's like doing really well just because like she just like went and was like, no, I'm going to do this.
Fantastic. Yeah. I love it. Just do it. Yeah. Thank you so much, Rebecca, for being on the show today. It's been wonderful talking to you.
Thanks for having me. I got the